Good morning. First of all, I'd like to start by introducing myself, Lieutenant Governor Anthony Brown, and I'm joined today by the Interim Exchange Executive Director, Carolyn Quatrocki, and as well as Dr. Joff Sharfstein, John Kroom, and Mike Powell. Isabel Fitzgerald, who is now heading up our IT leadership team, cannot be with us today because she is at the exchange doing the work needed to move us closer to success. I also want to start by thanking those Marylanders who are trying to get the health care coverage through the exchange. I want to thank them for their persistence and their patience during this difficult time. I also want to thank the many dedicated navigators and call center workers for their continued good work through a very frustrating start. Our number one focus, our most urgent priority, is doing everything possible to make sure that Marylanders can sign up for affordable health care and get access to the benefits that their families need. And as we move forward, that's going to remain our focus. That's why the governor and I have made changes by restructuring the exchange's leadership and bringing in additional resources. Once the exchange is running at full capacity, there'll be a time when we conduct a full assessment of why and how the exchange did not meet its goals. And I will be one of the loudest voices calling for a thorough review. Marylanders deserve accountability, and our focus now, though, must remain on the task at hand, and that is to fix it and to get it right. Over the past 2 weeks, we've made progress. We have implemented a series of technical improvements. We've increased staffing and strengthened the organizational structure. These steps have allowed us to increase enrollment, transfer applications to insurers, and make modest improvements to the user experience. There's still much, much work left to be done. Enrollments are up significantly, with nearly 22,000 Marylanders on track to obtain coverage through the exchange. Nearly 5,200 are in the QHPs, or the commercial insurance product, and approximately 1,700 are Medicaid. This week alone, we had 1,400 QHP enrollments and 3,200 Medicaid, almost double the previous week. This represents the most enrollments by far in a single week since the site launched. We remain focused on addressing the remaining technical issues. And let me just underscore that while it demonstrates an improvement in the rate of progress, no one here, no one working at the exchange, is satisfied with the rate of progress. We still have a considerable amount of work left to do. And every day we continue to evaluate the problems, the solution sets, so that we can make the best decisions on how we make the most amount of progress in the shortest amount of time. 834s, which you've heard much about, that's the QHP, transmittal process, transmitting sort of that data set, if you will. They're being transmitted to insurance carriers. Information for more than 4,000 individuals who enrolled through the Maryland Health Connection and qualified health plans have been sent to carriers. And just about an hour ago, we confirmed that the first bills were sent to customers this week. This weekend, we successfully converted 87,000 people in the primary adult care, or the PAC, program into full Medicaid benefits effective January 1st. These individuals, low-income adults who do not have children and who were not previously eligible for full Medicaid benefits, will now automatically have full coverage. New Medicaid ID cards for those individuals will begin to arrive in the mail late next week. We have established a process for reviewing and contacting those individuals who have completed paper applications. And we are using email, robocalls, and traditional mail to obtain any missing information in those applications. And this includes working with our local navigators. Call the call center. We're asking those who have completed paper applications to call the call center, go online, or call a broker. Resources have been increased, and we've restructured the exchange's leadership team, drawing expertise and resources from across the state. And let me just comment on the leadership changes. From the moment that it became apparent that the problems were deeper than anticipated, and for the Office of Governor, deeper than what had been reported, the administration responded with all hands on deck approach. To address the problems several weeks ago, Governor O'Malley and I decided to streamline the project team and focus additional resources. Isabel Fitzgerald, Secretary of the Department of Information Technology, has been detailed to focus on addressing the technical problems and directing the technical team in identifying and implementing fixes. John Crum, Deputy Director of the Governor's Office on Healthcare Reform, is leading the cross-agency project management operational oversight team. Carolyn Quatrochi from the Governor's Office of Health Reform has been named, as you learned last week, Interim Executive Director of the Exchange. And when I conclude my remarks in a few minutes, Carolyn will offer a statement as well. Dr. Sharfstein will provide guidance and support on operational issues. Resources have been increased, including additional staff from our vendors and information technology and project management support to move the project forward. An additional 40 people have been brought into the fulfillment center and the call center to help Mariners get health care coverage and troubleshoot issues as they arise. A team of 150 work around the clock out of a vendor's Linthicum office to resolve IT issues. And let me conclude with this regarding accountability. I am frustrated and disappointed how the launch of the Exchange website has gone. My focus is on resolving the issues and ensuring that every Marylander can obtain quality, affordable health care. The new leadership continues to evaluate both the status of the project, the problems, the solution sets, and how we can achieve our goals. We are committed to getting this right. As soon as we get through this and solve the major problems of the website, we are going to have a complete and thorough assessment to determine exactly what went wrong. But with deadlines approaching, our focus will continue to be on fixing it and getting it right. Carolyn?
Thank you, Governor. I want to just say briefly, we all share the goal, as the governor stated, of doing everything possible to make quality, affordable care accessible for all Marylanders. I can tell you I met over the weekend and yesterday with the staff at the Maryland Health Benefit Exchange. I was very impressed with how incredibly committed they are to achieving this task. They have been working since the launch above and beyond to try to address the problems that have surfaced. And I know they, along with our partners, the consumer assistance personnel in the field, our brokers, our carriers, hospitals, everyone is working to help us achieve success, and we'll continue to do so. So now, we have to focus on moving forward. As the governor said, we're identifying and continuing to address and break down the barriers to getting through the website and achieving access to coverage. And we're just going to keep on working as hard as we can towards that. I also want to say I'm grateful to the governor and lieutenant governor for the support. They've given this mission and me and everyone involved in this effort. You know, they have shown how committed they are to it by the focus and intensive, you know, bringing intensively focused additional resources to the project and to the goals we're all working so hard to achieve. So, you know, it's not going to be easy, but I am really optimistic that we will continue to make good progress, and I want to thank everyone who will continue, I know, to help us achieve that success. Thank you.
Questions? Yes. Well, the focus is not on the politics. The focus is on getting it right for more Marylanders. And as I've said, everyone involved in standing up or setting up the exchange is responsible, and that includes me. And as soon as the red flags appeared, which quite frankly happened on October 1st for me and the Office of the Governor, we immediately mobilized the resources, reorganized the leadership, launched a staff surge so that we can get this fixed, not for any reason other than expanding access to affordable health care for more and more Marylanders. I think it's important to keep in mind that we're going from a situation in Maryland with several hundreds of thousands of Marylanders without insurance and many more with substandard health insurance products. Our effort in implementing the Affordable Care Act, including the Health Benefits Exchange, while the launch was not successful, is going to result in significant benefits for Marylanders. Today, women will no longer pay more in premiums because they're a woman. Parents can keep their children on coverage to age 26. There are many more consumer protections like mammograms and colonoscopies available without a copay. Seniors are no longer going to be, you know, wrestling with groceries versus prescription drugs as we close that Medicare Part D prescription drug. So keep in mind that this three-year effort in implementing the Affordable Care Act has seen a number of successes on behalf of Marylanders. For every story of a Marylander who is frustrated, and we get that, we know that, with their inability to access the exchange, there's a Marylander out there that will tell a story of how yesterday she was paying $170 a month for insurance for her family, and today she's paying $79. So there are benefits that have accrued to Marylanders, and that's why we are continuing to be committed to implementing this aspect of the Affordable Care Act, which is the health benefits exchange.
We are 13 days away from the deadline
for people that come starting January 1. What is the state's plan in the event
there are still many, many people who are not able to enroll?
Our plan is to continue working every day around the clock with the additional resources that we put into it so that we can increase the number of Marylanders who will be able to access health coverage through the exchange. One of the things that we have done as well is we provided guidelines on the website so that many Marylanders who are going to the exchange website will be able to determine for themselves whether, in fact, they need to go through the exchange or use the link that we made available to go directly to carriers for coverage. For those who need to go through the exchange, and for those where the exchange is not up and running completely by January 1st, we will continue every day doing what we are doing today and what we've done certainly for the last 8 weeks, which is continue identifying the problems, working through the solutions, and improving the quality of the health benefits exchange.
But just to follow up to that, if we get to January 1 and we've got folks that are now uninsured, who may have been previously insured, what is the state's answer to that?
The answer is that we are continuing to work on improving this website. Look, we're not happy where we are today. So keep in mind right now that there are 750,000, perhaps the number's a little bit different, uninsured Marylanders. And prior to today, prior to October 1st, when we all anticipated the exchange to be fully functioning, it took those Marylanders sometimes 2 months, 3 months to get coverage. They would go to a carrier. The carrier would ask them for a lot of paperwork and information, and prior to the Affordable Care Act, could and often did deny that coverage because they had a pre-existing condition or a life a claims experience that presented too much of a risk for a carrier. And that's not happening today. So we are coming out of a period of time where Marylanders were uninsured, and many Marylanders had insurance products that were inferior. Every day we get better in identifying the problems, the solution set, so that we can insure more and more Marylanders either through the exchange or directly to carriers.
Yes. Less than 4,000 people have actually enrolled in this program in the private coverage. Are you still sticking by your original estimates that 150,000 will be enrolled by the end?
So I think the number is 5,000 nearing enrollment that are through the process. Remember, the 150,000 was a number that appeared, and we began talking about it over a year ago in the Hilltop study. So if we're at 5 today, and our hope was to get to 150,000, certainly by within the first year, that continues to be our focus, which is to improve the exchange every day so that more and more Marylanders can use the exchange, and we can get closer to the 150,000 number and away from the 5,000 number.
Lieutenant Governor,
yes.
Two-part question. The 5,200 number you quoted, is that for towards the end of the month, end of this week, or is that towards the end of March? Because if it's the end of March, it's way below 100.
No, the 5,200 that I mentioned today is today. The first indication that I received and that was received in the office of the governor, we refer to that as the second floor in Annapolis, was in sometime in September, closer to the end of September. And the report was that there would be volume, difficulties by experience because of the volume, the interest, the level of interest. There may be problems with unique and less frequent cases like maybe a Native American family seeking eligibility, a family of five seeking eligibility, but nothing that amounted to what we saw on October 1st.
Was there any consideration of delaying this even a week just to get the bugs out?
I think the governor spoke to that well about 2 weeks ago in the press conference. The decision to launch was a good decision because we are where we are today, having worked through a number of problems and brought a number of solutions to those problems. You'll remember the governor mentioned 9 sort of top-line priority problems that we're working on. 4 of the 9 have been addressed, and for the others, solutions are much more developed today. And timelines are a little bit better today because we launched. So the decision to launch was a good one, notwithstanding that the launch was not a success.
Based on what you knew at the time, was it still a good idea? Did you have any reservations about launching October 1st?
as I mentioned, by October 1st, I anticipated some volume challenges. I anticipated, based on the reports I got, that in the sort of the less frequent cases where someone would go and seek eligibility, maybe a family of five, that there would be glitches associated with that, but nothing on the scale that we experience on October 1st.
So if you knew
Where's the question? Okay, Pat. Well, what I know now is that we have an exchange that is not serving the people of Maryland, that we now have a leadership team in place to lead an effort to get us to a much better place, that we've dedicated considerably more staff and resources. We have refocused our vendors, which, as you know, part of that refocusing revealed a dispute between vendors where one of our vendors is no longer on the project because of the decision made by Noridian. So that's what I know. I know that on October 1st, I saw a real big mess, and we've taken a number of steps since that that time. And that's why we are here today. That's why this week we've seen the best week, which is encouraging. But again, I do highlight and emphasize there's still a lot of work left to be done. Yes. Who wants to address that?
Yeah. Sure.
So the question is about the call center hours, the availability. Right.
No, the call center has specific hours, but if you call during those hours, you should get a call back before the end of the day. So they'll work past those hours to call back people who call during those hours. But it's on the website what the specific hours of the call center are.
It's